May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our souls this afternoon as we consider it together. Let us turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, and read in verses 22 and 23. The first book of Samuel, chapter 15, and reading verses 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." The life of King Saul is one of the saddest lives that we read of, really, in the history, in the Word of God. He was anointed to be king. He was clearly a very able person, somebody that the people looked up to. And yet we see that, left to himself, he disobeyed the word of God. And we might think that in fact it was a relatively trivial thing. But the great issue is, nothing of disobedience with God is trivial. And the problem today is, many people do not consider that to be of any real importance. And so many are happy to follow their own interpretation and follow their own way, because they are not prepared, as Caleb was, to wholly follow the Lord. That's the great question, isn't it? To be amongst those who wholly follow the Lord. And we should not try to justify anything less than doing just that. It's very easy to turn to secondary considerations. See, Moses tried to justify not going to lead the children of Israel. He said he wasn't equipped, he couldn't speak, he wasn't able. But the Lord said, "Who hath made man's mouth?" And as we think of Moses' life, we know that 40 years previously, he thought he was all ready to go and deliver Israel. The Lord has a set time in each of our lives to do that which is his purpose for us. And we should never turn our back upon such truth. We should always be concerned to do the will of God. And what does that mean? That means obeying what God has spoken. Sometimes we excuse ourselves by saying, "Well, God hasn't spoken that to me." Well, if God has spoken in his word, he is speaking it to you and to me. We cannot hide under anything less than that. We are not promised direction other than in the word of God. And the word of God does direct us to that which is right and to that which is wrong. And we are to follow that which is right and to turn away from that which is wrong. We have a wonderful example of doing that which is right in the life of Hezekiah. His father Ahaz was a very evil king. So evil that he stopped the sacrifices, he stopped praise, and he shut the doors of the temple. Well, it was a black day in the life of Israel. But when he died, Hezekiah, when he was 25, he came onto the throne, and we read, in the first year, in the first month of his reign, he opened once again the doors of the temple and began to reinstitute those ceremonies which had been put aside and had almost been forgotten. And the Lord greatly blessed Hezekiah, greatly blessed him in reintroducing that which had been forgotten almost. They carried out the Passover, and then they carried out the 7 days of the feast, and it's wonderful to read. You can read it in the second book of the Chronicles, where they'd almost completed the 7 days following the Passover, and they decided among themselves to have another 7 days. So instead of keeping it 7 days, they kept it 14 days. It was such a desire to do the will of God, to praise him and to honour and to glorify his name. Well, we may not be quite as bad as the days of Ahaz, but if we're honest, we're not far off that. There seems to be a shutting of the doors. Let there seem to be an openness to the things of God. There doesn't seem to be a desire to obey the word of God. People so often make excuses why they should not do this and why they should not do that. Well, it doesn't matter what you and I think, what men think. It's what God thinks, and it's what God says. As we look at Saul here, we might think, well, he had a reasonable case. He didn't want to destroy the best of the flocks and the herds. He wanted to keep that. Sure, that wasn't unreasonable. We may fall under the evil of our reasoning nature. We should not allow ourselves a reasoning nature outside of the Word of God. The Word of God directs us as to that which is right and that which is wrong. And so many today are not following the Lord. They're not obeying the Lord. And they offer up all types of excuses. Oh, my friends, how do we stand individually? So we all have to look at our own hearts. We all have to ask ourselves, am I obeying the voice of the Lord? Am I? Or let's put it this way. Is there anything in your life that you are not obeying the Lord? Is there anything that you are not obeying the Lord? Now, Saul was condemned for not obeying the voice of the Lord. Let us not think that we live in an age which is different, an age wherein we can make excuses. An age in which we can say, well, so-and-so isn't doing that, and this one has done that. Don't look at anyone else. Look at the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. You see, Samuel brought Saul back to the Word of God. Didn't matter what he thought and what he did. Samuel had to tell him what God had spoken, what God had said. And what a problem that is today. We find people are not following the word of the Lord. they look and they think, well, I couldn't do that because of this and because of that. They're frightened of what people think. They're frightened of their own flesh. The tragic thing is, they put these things before the Lord God. And that applies to people who worship in strict Baptist chapels as much as other people. That's why perhaps there is a dearth, there is a famine of the hearing of the word. There is a famine of the hearing of the word. There's no doubt about it. And you say, well, how do you know that? I know it because of the little conversation there is about what people have heard under the preaching of the word. They're willing to speak about every other thing rather than the things of God and what they've heard under the preaching of the word. There isn't that hunger, there isn't that thirst. It's very much worldly mindedness. They're not willing to give themselves. They're not willing to offer themselves as a sacrifice. And so Samuel says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? And what that means is very simply this, in one sense, outward things. Some people just think it's okay to come along to chapel and tick the box, and they've satisfied a requirement, and they go home, and if you ask them to write down what they'd heard in the sermon, it'd be a blank sheet. All they've been doing is just carrying out a formal acceptance to the things of God, and they've just, as it were, taken a burnt offering and the sacrifice. Hasn't actually done them any real good. And that's the day in which we live. And that's why the Church of God, to a large extent, is in a low place. We don't see and observe God's work appearing. Well, may we look to ourselves to see whether we're the cause of the situation which exists. We always have to look at ourselves first, not at other people. Look at ourselves first. We are encouraged to examine ourselves. Wonder how much examination there is today. And we really examine ourselves in the light of God's word to see whether we are obeying the voice of the Lord. And the Lord speaks, he says very clearly, behold, we are to look at this, we are to notice this, we are not to forget it, we are not to avoid it. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It is to obey and to listen to the word of God. Well, that's just what Saul did not do. No, he didn't obey, and he hadn't listened carefully to what had been spoken. And therefore, he allowed the people to keep that which was apparently the best. You see, he then made excuses that it was the people that had done it. He didn't bring that to bear upon himself. No, he tried to pass it on. Well, it's their fault, it's not mine. It's always been the problem since Adam, when he tried to blame his wife, giving him that fruit. We cannot blame other people. We have to look very closely to our own heart and to examine ourselves before Almighty God. And so, may we today behold what We read here, to behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, there are many, many passages in the Word of God with regards to obeying. And you may be surprised how many there are, because we perhaps don't like to think that we are failing in our life and in our obeying the Word of God. Jeremiah, he lived in a dark day as well. He lived in a day when Israel would not listen to the prophets. And it's so significant that so blessed were Israel, and yet they so ignored so often the word of the prophets. And in the 7th chapter we read, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Is that not a true picture that we see today? Is it not a sad picture that we see today? And Jeremiah is very clear in the words he's speaking to Israel. He's warning them, he's telling them. And we know, of course, that they still ignored the words of Jeremiah. And eventually, what came upon them? They were taken captive, and they went down into Babylon. Now, my friends, I hope we don't want to be taken captive. I hope we don't want to find ourselves in Babylon, far off from the privileges which are granted to us today. And so, as he tells them this truth, but this thing didn't matter about the other things. No, he said, "I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offering sacrifices." That wasn't so important. That wasn't so important. You know, sometimes we have a wrong assessment of things that are important and the things that are not so important. And sometimes we place wrong views and we put too much pressure on things which are not so important, and we classify them as though they were all important. I'll just tell you one illustration. When I was a boy, and I'm not saying this is right at all, but it isn't right, but when I was a boy, worshipping in London, sometimes we would have the odd lady come in to the chapel without a hat on. And if that ever happened, up jumped the deacon, stamped to the back where it was, and grabbed a hat and put it in her hands and commanded her to put it on. What was the result? Woman got up and walked out. And when I was a boy, I thought that was the most important thing in worship. Now, I do believe in head coverings. I don't think that I don't. I do believe in head covering. But it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to hear what God's speaking to your heart. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." What a promise, isn't it? What a wonderful promise. And the other is true. If we do not obey the word of God and walk in his ways, then surely this is also true, that it will not be well with us. It'll not be well with us. And that's not anything you and I should trifle with, is it? Because we're speaking about eternal things. We're living in time. We face eternity where there is no time. And you and I need to be well and right for eternity. That's the great thing. That's the vital thing. And therefore, what does it come down to? It comes down to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. As that one who has died for us upon Calvary's cross. Are we obeying the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The voice of Jesus sounds loud and clear, doesn't it? What does he say? Do this in remembrance of me. The voice of Jesus directs us to follow his gracious example, doesn't it? The example of his life. And the example of his life was simply this. He pleased not himself. He desired to please his heavenly Father. And that was so clearly exemplified in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed earnestly to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. Yes, it was his desire to do his Father's will, even recognizing what he had to endure, what he had to face. And it was, of course, a tremendous situation which was before him. And yet, those glorious, gracious words, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. Now, is that our desire? Do we pray that? Do you pray that? Do you pray that earnestly in your life? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey the voice, the words, the action of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking along these lines, we think of his life and we realize what he did. He was baptized in the River Jordan. He was willing to do his Father's bidding. And we know there was a wonderful revelation of that when he was baptized and came out of the water, there was the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, I'm sure we desire to hear that spoken to us. The Lord is well pleased with us. Well, is he well pleased with us today? Is he well pleased with you? Is he well pleased with me? In our life, are we obeying the blessed word of the Lord? And the Lord was baptized, and then of course he then instituted on that Passover night the Lord's Supper. What did he say? Do this in remembrance of me. Are we obeying the voice of the Lord in this situation? People lightly esteem these things. And you know, they quote, as an example, the dying thief. Well, just remember, the dying thief could not be baptized, and the dying thief could not partake of the Lord's Supper. He was nailed to that cross. That's the only one we really read of in the Word of God. In the New Testament, we know there were very many who did follow the Lord, who did obey his voice. So as we think of these words this afternoon, behold, to obey is better. And it is better. And I can assure you that if we obey the voice of the Lord, we will never regret it. Whatever that may mean in your life, and that's in this extensive position, isn't it, to think of, that you will never regret obeying the Word of God, obeying the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never regret it. I'm absolutely sure of that. We have many things to regret. And one of the greatest things we have to regret is not obeying the voice of the Lord. Not obeying. That's one of the greatest regrets we have. And so, here we have this statement, behold, oh listen, understand, recognize, this is God's word. It's not the word of a man. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And if you need any encouragement in this, in your life, whatever that may mean, always remember the words that the apostle wrote in the Hebrews. Consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what opposition the Saviour had to endure and faced willingly, so that you and I might receive the wonderful gift of eternal life. Oh yes, the apostle says, consider him that endured. Are you having to endure? You may have to endure. You'll find comfort from words like this. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortations which speaketh unto you as unto children. Perhaps we may have forgotten the Lord's exhortation to us. We need to be reminded perhaps of it. And he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Bless God if he doesn't let us rove on without any reprimanding, without any chastening. Now, chastening isn't joyous when it's done, but afterward, yes, it brings forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Yes, it's a time of sonship, recognizing the Lord is dealing with us in love to our souls. Therefore, don't despise it. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Oh, we see the great truth here of the Word of God, and to realize how relevant it is. And the Apostle, speaking to the Hebrews, not only did he speak in that way, but he also spoke and he said, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. That was the testimony of Paul when he wrote to the Hebrews, to do the will of God. And it's a good It's a good place to be in. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of a good conscience. Something we never regret. Obeying the voice of the Lord. There will be opposition. Be sure of that. The devil will come alongside and speak all kinds of reasons why you should not obey the word of God. Jeremiah said he was only a child and he couldn't speak. I mentioned Moses already. There are many other examples. But you see, the Lord gives the help and the Lord gives the strength to do his will. So may each of us be willing in the day of his power. The Lord gives power. He gives strength. He supports them. He gives strength to the weak and the feeble. Remember what Isaiah wrote in those last verses in the 40th of Isaiah. And he tells us, he says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. That's the secret, isn't it? Waiting on the Lord shall, there's no doubt about it, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The promises of God are yea and amen. Now, the second verse we read this afternoon speaks of rebellion. Rebellion. And if we are not obeying the voice of God, it is rebelling. And that may strike home, may be hard to believe, but it is true, my friends. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Think of that. Align it to that. We need to consider the word of God. If we're rebelling against God, it is as a sin of witchcraft. We're not obeying the voice of God. It's because we are rebelling, and it's like the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, are you stubborn today before God? Are you stubborn? You're listening to the devil, or are you listening to the Lord God? If you're stubborn, you're listening to the devil. Are you stubborn today? It's as iniquity and idolatry. Why? Because it is iniquity, it's sin, and it's idolatry because you're either worshipping yourself or worshipping yourself and the devil. Probably yourself and the devil. And it's idolatry. You're not worshipping God. See some of the reasons why the church of God is in the low state they're in. There isn't the true concern to obey the voice of the Lord. We're so concerned about what people think of us. It doesn't matter. It does matter what God thinks of you. And he said very solemnly, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Oh, my friends, I hope this afternoon that you are not rejecting the word of the Lord. You can reject men. That's fine. Don't reject the word of the Lord. What a solemn statement that was. What an important statement it was. And oh, may we not be found, therefore, rejecting what God has said. Especially if it doesn't comply with our little plan. We have plans, don't we? They're our plans. They're not God's plans. We need to bow down before God's plans. You think of Joseph. Well, the plan for Joseph was very different to what he anticipated. There he was in jail. We're told the word of the Lord tried him. But in due time he was delivered. He was brought up out of it. It wasn't that he was disobedient. It wasn't that he was disobeying the word of God. But the word was tried. And the word was tested. Well, we want to know it is the word of the Lord, don't we? If you and I are really concerned about that, really concerned, we give the Lord no rest until we do know it is the word of the Lord. And it may be like Gideon. Gideon tells us he was the least in his father's house. Didn't have any high impression of himself. And that's a good place. To be less than the least of all saints, like the Apostle Paul. Well, Gideon wanted to know it was the word of the Lord. And he asked the Lord for those two blessings that he might snow when he put the fleece out, dry and the fleece out. And it had dew on one time and was full of dew, and the other time it was dry and the dew on ground was all round about it. God heard his prayer. Now, I'm not saying you should go that way. But it may be you're in a time when you feel you must have a clear answer from the Lord God. And then it will be, you won't be resting in it. You'll give the Lord no rest until you have the answer. I believe in that situation, the Lord will hear, and the Lord will give you the answer, so that you will be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, may the Lord be gracious to us, and may we hear these words this afternoon. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And also one of the clear evidences of the word of the Lord being spoken is this. Will it bring honour and glory to God? That's the touchstone of true religion and of true blessings and of true favour. Will it bring honour and glory to God? And if you, as you examine yourself, can honestly believe it will be so, then you can believe the Lord has spoken to you, and may you be given that grace to obey the voice of the Lord. Amen.